So as I said, let me just briefly read some of these prophecies here, and then just so that some of you have never heard these. This is when the church was down in Teaneck, New Jersey. This was in 1982. Happened to be at this meeting here, April 20th, 1982. This was given by Buddy Harrison. He was the son-in-law of Brother Hagin, his daughter's husband. And it's part of a longer prophecy, but I pulled out what pertains to the ministry here. And some of this is being spoken to Pastor Clinton. It says, "And so now you see the leaders of the East, and it has all been because they have been faithful to give you a feast upon the good word of God and cause you to grow, and so shall the numbers increase, and people will know that they know. And faith shall be established, and hope shall be in their life, so that there will be victory, and people all over this part of the country will come into the abundant life. And it is because a man was faithful to say, 'I will walk where he tells me to walk, and I will be what he wants me to be, and I will say what he wants me to say.' And so this will be a testimony unto you in the days ahead, for you to remember all that has been done. Because it belongs to every believer, but only those who are faithful to run. So you be diligent to run the same race, and you'll have the same wonderful glory smiling upon your face. So it's not limited unto just one, but all may enter therein and walk and free a many a man from his poverty and from his sin. So you've got your part to play, so run your race well, and then you will have the glorious story to tell." And what, yes, it was given to Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah, but here's the thing. This prophecy is to all of us, because it says, so it's not limited to just one, but all may enter therein and walk and free a many a man from his poverty and his sin. So you've got your part to play, so run your race well, and then you will have the glorious story to tell. So he was saying to him and his wife and everyone present, you can do the same thing. You can run this race if you will teach and preach the word of God. What? Maybe not from a pulpit, but in the places that you go. You can share the good news of the gospel. This is talking about faithfulness to run a race, faithfulness to God's plan. That's why I'm sharing this. This was given by Kenneth Copeland. Some of you may know him. This was a Philadelphia crusade in October of 1983, October 27th, 1983. It just happened to be at that meeting with the pastors at that time. It says, "I didn't know you were going to be in this meeting, and I was praying about you and your wife this afternoon." Not my wife, his. He's talking to Pastor Clinton. I'm not kidding. I'm just saying so that everybody understands he's talking to Pastor Clinton here, not me. So he's saying this afternoon, "And the work that you're doing. And the Lord wanted me to tell you that the area that you're ministering in has been given to you." Ooh, this is powerful stuff. "The way cities were given to armies of old, the way Jericho was given to Joshua, the walls of doubt and unbelief will fall flat as you rise up the army of God in the area where you live. And it'll be no small thing. It'll be no small thing, saith the Lord." Well, you know, this is what he's saying. "Well, you know, I started to name the area that you're in, and the Lord stopped me and wouldn't let me do it. He said, no, I'd have been too small. I wouldn't have reached out far enough so you know what you're believing for. This was given when we were in Hackensack or Teaneck, New Jersey. So the Lord stopped him from naming that area because it would have been too small. And now we're in Nanuet, you see. And so what does that have to do up here? Everything, because it's part of this ministry. He would have named an area and it would have been too small because it affected this area. And you understand what I'm saying? So we need to be careful when we start speaking things. It better be at God's direction, because you can name something and restrict the plan of God. You could hinder it. So he goes on, he says, "Don't ever get the idea, saith the Lord, that I've come anywhere close to stopping. I have not stopped, neither is my arm shortened. For these are the days of my power, these are the days that I have called to reckon, saith the Lord. And my people are being raised up into a mighty army and welded together by the spirit of love and the spirit of grace and the spirit of giving and the spirit of life. For these are the days of the coming of to pass of all things the way they're written." Now this is another prophecy given by Kenneth Copeland. This was at our dedication service in Nanuet in September 15th of 1985. It says, "Do you remember, saith the Lord, in the book of Revelation and also in the book that my servant read tonight, do you remember where there was a light, a candlestick standing, but it had two olive trees on each side? And the prophet said, I don't know what that is. And the angel said, that's where the oil comes from. The oil flows out of those olive trees into those lamps, keeping the light on, keeping the light on, keeping the light on. He said, well, your pastors are the light. Jesus is the light shining through them. But you're a part of, you're a branch on the olive tree. The oil of the Holy Ghost, the oil of intercession, the oil of your giving, the oil of your love is going to flow into them, and the light is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. And there are people all the way over in Manhattan, there are people all the way up and down this whole East Coast that'll say, what is that bright light on the horizon? What is that I see? What is that I see? Oh, there's something calling me. There's something calling me. What is that? What is that? And the closer they get, they're like a bug going to a light shining in a dark place. The closer they get, the warmer it gets, and the warmer it gets, and the more powerful it is. As you are the oil to the lamp, I will draw the people here, saith God. And the more of them that come, the more oil there'll be. And the more oil there is, the brighter the light. And the brighter the light, the more people that come. And the more people that come, the more oil there be. And the more oil there is, the brighter the light. And the brighter the light, the more people come. And the more people come, and the more oil there is. And the more oil there is, the brighter the light. And the brighter the light, the more people come. What are you doing in this small place? All my plans are big, saith the Lord. My plans are large, and the only way that it can eventually come to pass in the fullness of what I have planned is when other churches and all the believers begin to hook their lights together. It's an interesting prophetic word here. Only then will the vessel be big enough to contain all of my lights, saith the Holy Ghost. One man or one woman can't shine as bright as I am, but all the men and all the women can. For as they come together, I cannot just manifest myself in them as individuals, but in the combination of two, there is tenfold strength. And he continues, he said, and you're going to get a revelation in this church of the unity of the body of Christ that very few walked in. And you're going to carry it, and you're going to walk in it, And the people are going to call you all kinds of funny things. But one thing they're going to wind up saying, I'll tell you, them folks are strange, but they're getting everybody together. They're getting everybody together. They're getting everybody together. And I'm going to shine all over this nation from this place. I'm telling you, and then the time will come when whole vessels full of people, buses full of people, ships full of people, airplanes full of people, going all over the world, taking that light, going into places all over the world, taking that light. And they're going to see, and they're going to understand more than they understood about God ever in their lives. They're going to say, that's that bunch from that, what is it, redeeming love? Is that what they say? Well, I can understand why they call it that, because that's the loveliest people and the lovingest people I have ever met in my life. For my love is the light that'll draw people. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, saith the Lord. Yes. And I am the love of my Father, and my Father's love in me. And my love is in you, and you are a manifestation of my love. And all over the world, people are going to say, where are you coming from? You're going to say, oh, just a little place over in New York, just a little place, just a few of us over there that love God, have grown into a lot of them that love God, and then just a few more, and 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 he goes on, and a few more will turn into a few thousand, and thousands here, and thousands there. Some of you will go into foreign nations to stay and live. Some of you will bring the word of God into the most poverty-stricken places in all the world, and some of you are going to stand before kings and queens, knowing how to be abased and knowing how to prosper, how to abound in the face of all things, declaring the Lord. And this is what he said. This is the word of the Spirit, and this is the purpose of the Spirit in raising this place up and bringing about a foundation that's laid on a rock, laid deep not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And my mighty power and my mighty Spirit will flow in this place in proportions that up until now have only been the wildest, fondest dreams all found in the corners of people's thinking. But I'm going to bring it to pass, saith God, if you'll walk upright before me and keep this place pure. Keep it pure on the word. Keep it pure financially, and keep it pure sexually, and I will cause this place to shine so bright with the same light that caused Saul of Tarsus to fall on his face and say, what is it, Lord? Yes. And they'll come from miles around. Yes. So he continues. He said, well, I'm going to have to go on ahead and say this. I withdrew from it a little bit because I didn't just know exactly how to say it. But it has to do with this church and this congregation again. So he's talking to all of us. But not only this one, but others in other places. But this is one of them. I said earlier that this is a mighty church. A church filled with might. And people have called my congregation in Seoul, Korea, saith the Lord, a mighty and huge church. He's talking about Dr. Youngji Cho's church in Seoul, Korea, which has over 1 million people. He said, but that's not big for the Lord when a people will pray. And I'm going to raise those up all over the world. If you'll let me, I'll raise that up here. Hallelujah. You'll have to pray and seek my face. don't seek the biggest church in the world, just seek me. I'm going to raise up congregations all over the world with hundreds of thousands of people in it. My hour has come, saith the Lord, and I'm going to do it here if you'll let me. Bigger if you'll let me. My plans are so big that if I told you what they are and showed you a picture of it, you couldn't believe it. You couldn't describe it. And you'd say, not so, Lord, that can't even be. But it will be, and you'll comprehend it. And he's talking to the pastors here. Within 3 years' time, you'll begin to see it. So he begins to talk about that. And then he finishes up and he said, but this is a church that's going to be held responsible for being a mighty church. A mighty church, a church not only just with the power of God, but a revelation and a manifestation of his mighty power. Now let me just read one more. I'll read some others another time. But let me read this. This was also given to Pastor Sarah in 2003 by Kenneth Copeland at a Philadelphia campaign. I wasn't there. It says, last night, he said, every time I started to move on it, it would just seem like it was held. But I'll say to you now, he's talking to Pastor Sarah and Clinton, your ministry, the thing that God has called you and pastor to do, is just now completed its base and foundation. This is 2003. Remember, we're talking about words of prophecy given to you, and he's saying now, this is 2003. They started the ministry in 1980. So that's 23 years. He said, you are just now completing the foundation of this ministry. 23 years. And this is what he said. Just now, I mean all the years that it's taken. But the reason it takes a long time to build some foundations is because of the size of what it's going to have to hold up. And right now you're beginning to build the house that God has called you to build, the ministry house. And he goes on and shares some things. But it includes, this here is an extension part of this building of the house. So this, it's exciting, and I read these, you know, as led, and God has a purpose in establishing, and, you know, when they purchased this property, there was a purpose in it. And it's not finished. It's not completed. We may not see all of this, and some of us may not understand it. I don't really, you know, I don't understand things. It don't matter whether I understand it or not. I could care less whether I understand it. If he reveals it so I can, great. If he says go over here, I go over here whether I understand it or not. You think Noah understood when he got instruction, build an ark? You think he understood? I'm sure he was wondering, what the heck is this? I don't even know what water is. Build an ark out in the middle of, for what? When he told Abraham to get up and go into the, you know, leave his country, leave all that. Do you think he knew what he was going on? No, he just obeyed. He said, go sacrifice your son. How many of you would have done that? None. And he did. He obeyed. And so that's where we are. We don't have to understand. We just have to know, okay, was this a reputable word given? You don't have to act on it right away. You let God direct you. And you obey. Because God has a master plan. You know, something, and I'll share just something aside here. Pastor Sarah said that God spoke to her one time and said, you were not my first choice. And she said, God spoke to her and said, there were a number of ministers that currently had churches that God had asked and said, I want you to do this work. And knocked on their door, so to speak. Knocked on their heart and said, look, I want you to do this. They wouldn't do it. Because she said when they knew one of them. And he said, oh no, I couldn't do that because I'd lose my congregation if I started to move away from the things that I was teaching and doing. See, he said, I would lose my financial support. I'd lose this, I'd lose it. So he didn't do it. He held to what he was comfortable with. And so sometimes God may, and especially, you know, that's why I appreciate the Utterbox for taking the stand. They took a step of faith to start a church, not knowing what the end would be, you see. And so that's why I say when God has a plan, if you don't hook up, he going to find somebody. Because God is going to get done what he needs to get done. If he needs to reach thousands and thousands of people, if you don't want to pray, somebody will. If you don't want to go and execute what his plan is, somebody else will. And they'll get the glory. I mean, not Jesus will get the glory, but they'll get the credit, you see. And so we always need to remember that we need to be faithful to his plan. Yes. And do our part, whatever that is. Do our part, right? So when it comes to, these are just some little points here. You can turn over to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. As you're turning there, great gifts require and demand great responsibility. So great gifts, you know, God gives us great gifts, requires great responsibility. He's going to hold you accountable for some things. He's going to hold us all accountable for things. So great gifts require great responsibility. Great gifts will cause great tests. You have great gifts, it's going to cause some great tests in your life. Great gifts require great faith. And that along with that means faithfulness. You can't be faithful and not have faith. If you're faithful, that means you're convinced about something. You're absolutely convinced about something and there's conviction involved. So whatever fills your heart, this is what we were talking about before, whatever fills your heart will control you. So Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this word faith, when it says without faith it's impossible to please him, this word faith is the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. What does that mean? It means confidence, it means conviction. So in other words, when we talk about faith, that means your attention can't be divided. You know, we're talking about, you know, you can't love God and mammon. That means you're convinced about something, and you're not divided about it. You've given your whole heart to it, your attention, where the plan of God is concerned. And what does that say? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This word faith, or pistis, also means fidelity, excuse me, and faithfulness. It also means faithfulness. So you could read this and say, and it would say, but without faithfulness to God, it's impossible to please him. You have to be faithful to him or he's not pleased. What would it say? That's what I was reading before. It says that in James 4:4, that it's enmity with God when you're divided. You see, you're not giving your whole heart to something. So we have to have undivided heart towards God. I'll just read this. You don't need to turn there. But Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. See, you can't be divided. You can't waver, right? You have to be undivided with your heart. 2 Timothy 2:3, you can turn there. It says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. Right? Well, that's the New Living. But 2 Timothy 2:13 in the King James, it says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. So even, I like to say this, even when we're unfaithful, even when our heart is not towards God, he remains faithful. What does that mean? My goofiness doesn't affect him. When my heart's not towards God, it doesn't change God. He's faithful towards me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So even when we miss it, he's holding steady. Somebody who's faithful can be depended on, like a rock. They're always there for you, right? And that's what he is. He's always there for us. So when we talk about that, he's saying that in order to please God, we need to be faithful. So you can only be faithful with what you have. You can't be faithful with things you don't have or opportunities that you don't have. When you're given an opportunity for something, then you can be faithful to that, but you can't be faithful for things that you don't have, things that are not opportunities, you see. So we're only going to be held accountable for things that we know or had an opportunity to do. If God gives you an opportunity to do something and you don't embrace it, and that's something he wants for you, you'll be held accountable for that. Because he'll turn around and say, I gave that to you. You refused. And you will be held accountable. That goes for all of us. That's why I say it's always important. Now we miss it. We all do. We've missed it. But a lot of times, thank God for the Holy Ghost, he'll say, you need to go back and check that. Fix that. Embrace that. Do that. You know, we're all of us, you know, we all have a certain amount of hard-headedness. I ain't doing that. And thank God for the Holy Ghost, because he'll say, oh, no, you need to do that. Right? Anybody said they're not hard-headed, well, then I need to pray for you, because we deal with the flesh. Right? Huh? And the old man, yeah. But he says, put down the old man. Right? Exactly. And then, you know, there's the story of the talents. Right? What were they? Let's go over to Matthew. Let's take a quick look at that. Matthew 25 talks about the parable of the talents. And you can see here, how faithful were they with the talents they were given? And you know the story. Talks about, you know, how the starting in verse 14, it talks about how he called his servants, delivered unto them his goods. He gave one 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1. And so you can read down, and when he returned, it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Verse 20, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And same thing happened with the one that received 2. He said he took his 2 and he got 2 more. And he said the same thing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over what? A few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And the one that had the one servant that had one, what did he do? He said he was afraid. That's what it says in verse 25. Afraid of what? It says he was afraid, and he went and hid his talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord gave him the business. Right? And you can see how he was not pleased. He continued and he said, verse 29, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So he wasn't too pleased when the servant was given a talent and did nothing with it. Right? Turn to Luke 6, 16. Let's look at Luke chapter 16. You can see here when he said, take the talent that was given to the one and give it to those that'll do something with it. He said, give it to the one that has 10. So God elevates through faithfulness, doesn't he? That's what happens. They were faithful over a few, and he took that one talent. I heard Brother Copeland say this years ago. He was complaining. He shared it publicly, so we heard him talk about it. He said he was complaining to the Lord, you know, like, why are you giving me all this to do? He said, I got enough to do. My plate is busy. He was whining to the Lord. I'm busy. I'm tired. I got too much to do. Why are you giving me this? He said, because the one that was supposed to do it isn't doing it, and I had to give it to somebody who I knew would. That's this right here. You see. So when we say, oh, I'm too tired, I ain't doing that. Well, be careful, because if it's something the Lord gave you to do, he may take it from you. He may take it if you drag your feet. See. Luke 16, verse 10. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? So you want to know what somebody will do with $1 million? Same thing they're doing with $1,000. Or $100, or $1. If they're not faithful with $1, they won't be faithful with $1 million. They won't. This is what the scripture's saying here. See, there's a lot of people say, oh, if I just had $1 million, I'd give more to the church. You're a liar. I don't mean to be crude or harsh, but if you're not faithful with the little that you have, if you got $1, give 10 cents out of that dollar. If you're not faithful with the dollar, you won't be faithful with $1,000, because it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. See? I always say this, if you're not sure what someone will do with the task that you have, give them something menial to do, and then you find out what they will do. Because any company, any boss doesn't bring a person in. Everybody wants to start at the top. Newsflash. Most people will start at the bottom, and they will do what? Observe you for a while. And sometimes for a long time to see how you handle yourself. Well, the Lord is the same way. He will see how we handle the things that he's given us to do, see how we handle people, see how we handle, how we walk in love, how we handle money, how we handle the things that of his business, his work. And out of that, and it's not to say we all don't make mistakes, but God is watching. And what happens when he said, if you are faithful in the least, then you will be faithful in the much. And that development process is a process, but God is not going to turn over something to someone who can't be trusted or who was not faithful. That's the point, right? And that's just, you know, that's the scripture. I'll just read this. Matthew 16, verse 24, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and do what? Follow me. That means your heart's not divided. That means your heart is towards him. That doesn't mean, look, people get stuck sometimes. They say, well, you know, I'm a caregiver. I'm a wife that's home. That's your call right now. Be faithful to that. Be diligent to do what? Raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If that's your call, you do it well. Do it like they said, look out among you and get seven men with honest report. What? Full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Be a wife or a husband full of the Holy Ghost and raise up your family right. That's pleasing to God. Because what? Your heart's towards God in that task that you've been given. Whatever it is, whatever your call is, right? You know, I remember, you know, years ago when I was running sound in Nanuet, there was a young man, he was young, he's grown like me now, but older, not old, older. You're never old, you're just older. But he worked sound with me. He was an MIT graduate. He was a very bright guy. And he served running the soundboard with me. And he worked at that time for Mobil. And he, you know, did his task. He was a chemical engineer. Did his task. And then he ended up leaving and he started working for Hess, for Hess Oil. And for years, he would come chasing up out of the city, you know, doing his thing, and he'd have his BlackBerry, and he's going at it, and he's running the soundboard. We had the choir, and we had the sound and the band, and he was chasing with us and doing all of that, right? And so as he grew, he got to the place where he is now. Today, he's senior VP, and he would contract. I mean, I'd see him working on his BlackBerry and stuff. I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm just contracting, coordinating a couple of ships full of oil. And now he flies on a private jet all over. I mean, that's Hess. Hess got five or six planes. He's flying down to the, you know, to St. Thomas and all of these various places where they have refineries. And he's up there. How did he get there? He said to me one time, we were sitting at the soundboard. He said, Ed, he said, I don't understand it. This guy's brighter than me. He said, God has opened some doors to me that are just unbelievable. He said, I'm working directly with Mr. Hess. That's when he was alive. And so he said, God has opened doors for me. And it's a person of color. So please don't tell me that opportunities are not there. Now, yes, he went to college. He went to MIT. That was, you know, that was a path for him. But the point is, he was faithful in his church, faithful to God, faithful to his family, and God supernaturally opened some doors. He said to me, he said, there's people more qualified than me that should have this job. Not that he wasn't bright. Not that he wasn't good. But he said of his own mouth, there were people that probably could do that could run circles around him. But God, you can go out on their website. I've done it. I go out on Hess's website. It's got his name, Senior VP. See? That's why I say, God will elevate the faithful. I'm telling you, it's the truth. So fear will keep you from being faithful. You know, we all want to hear, well done, and thou good and faithful servant, but we have to all examine, are we faithful? Are we faithful to God? Are we faithful to his plan in my life? And it's easy to do. It's easy to fix. If we're not, then just fix it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I thought I was doing what you want. And that doesn't mean neglect your family. That's not what that means. Your family's your responsibility. That's part of your assignment. But also, in doing that, God comes first. He is first. Psalm 31, verse 23. Psalm 31, verse 23. Psalm 31. Just going to look at a few scriptures here. Psalm 31, verse 23. It says, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. This word preserveth means to guard, to watch over, to guard from dangers. So he preserves us. He protects us. Who's he protect? The faithful. Proverbs 28. Verse 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Let me read it in a more modern translation. It says, the New Living Translation said, the trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. So what do? It says, if we're faithful to God, we'll abound with blessings. And that's not only money. That can be your health. A lot of people are getting money and they're stressed out trying to get money. Right? I believe where is it in the scripture? He said, he addeth riches to us with no trouble. I believe it's in Proverbs. Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? So we all have to examine. So let's turn quickly over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. So I want to look at this. If we're going to be faithful, then we must be like him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, what does it say? God is faithful, by whom ye were called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. God is faithful. This word, again, it's faithful, is pistos. It means trustworthy, can be trusted, reliable. So how do we become faithful or more faithful? How do we become like that? You produce after its own kind, or you reproduce after its own kind. So if you want to become more faithful, or you want to become faithful and be like him, you reproduce after him. We pattern after the original. And the reason I say that is because the further that society gets away from God, the more unfaithful they are. We see that in society. People aren't faithful to wives or husbands. They're not faithful to each other. They're not faithful to friends. They're not faithful to their job. They're not faithful to their church. They're not faithful. Why? Because they keep moving away, farther away in society from God. They're not reproducing after him. So we become like the world. That's just exactly what it is. Now, I'm not saying everybody in the world is not faithful, but you become further away from the light of God's word, then you don't look like him. You don't reproduce after him, right? How does that say? What does it say? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So the word of God will change our thinking, will change us. John 15 in verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. That's what he's doing. So if we're not faithful in a particular area, he pinches. Don't do that. Change that. What does that mean? He purgeth it or pinches, or the word does that. It says what? He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That means you can't be faithful without abiding in him and abiding in the word of God. You can't be faithful. Just as a person, you can't be. You may have a measure of it, but if you want to be more faithful, then you have to abide in him. You've got to abide in the word of God. That will, through the power of the word of God, will do what? It says it will. We're clean through the word. What does that mean? It says this word clean means to be free from corrupt desire. It means to be blameless, innocent, unstained with the guilt of anything. What does the scripture say? We are the light and salt of the earth. Well, you can't be slipping and sliding and be a light or salt. You can't be that. So that's why it says in the scripture, if we're going to be faithful to his plan, faithful to God's will, we're going to have to embrace his word. We're going to have to spend time with him. And that's why I say you can't be divided. You can't love God and love the world. You can't. It's impossible. You're going to be somewhere in the middle. And we know from the book of Revelation, God said, he said, if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. You're either hot or cold. That's it. Hot or cold. Lukewarm, he don't like. And so we have to, you know, and this is what I'm saying, you know, we all are places in, we're growing spiritually. All of us at our different levels. So we have to see what's consuming our attention, what's consuming our heart and our desires. It doesn't mean that we don't pursue or don't have aspirations God-given, but don't let them take and steal your heart. You see, don't let that steal your heart from God. See, love him. And what does he say? A faithful man aboundeth in blessings. See? So God is looking for faithful people. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I like this, Psalm 89 and verse 8. Let's look at this verse here. Psalm 89, verse 8. It says, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? In the New Living, it says, faithfulness is your very character. This is what the New Living Translation says in about God's character. Faithfulness is your very character. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. In Psalm 119, 180, and 186, all thy commandments are faithful. The word is faithful. See? And if we feed on it, it'll make us faithful. It'll make us faithful. See, when you think about it, that's what the scripture is saying. It says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. What is faith? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is being convinced of something that God said or promised. something about him convinces me. And that's in my heart. I'm convinced of that. Well, when I'm convinced of something, I'm faithful to it. I'm, as the scripture said, I'm a disciple. That's what the scripture said, make disciples of all men. Right? So the scriptures are settled. They can be trusted. So God is faithful. He's always there. He's always can be counted on. He's always there. See, and as parents, that's the one thing, you know, I appreciate my parents. My father's in heaven. My mother's turning 95, doing well. But I can always say the one thing, and of course, maybe you didn't have that. I did, but my parents were always there for us as children. They were always there. They were faithful. See, they were always there. They could be counted upon. They weren't slipping and sliding, didn't know if they were coming home. They were always present. Didn't say they were perfect. If you find some perfect parents, I'm going to pray for you for lying. Because nobody's perfect, and no parent is ever perfect. They make mistakes, just like you do. I remember Pastor Sarah one time said to her son, he was barking at her and complaining. She said, let me tell you something. You didn't come out with some instructions on your tail end. So I'm doing the best I can. And I thought, you know what? That's pretty good. You didn't have any instructions when you were born, so I'm doing the best I can here. Now, that may not be the kind of answer you want to give your child, but that's what she shared. And in some ways, there's some truth to that because parents are sometimes looking for direction from God, make some mistakes. But I'm just saying that one hallmark is we need to be faithful to God. If you're a parent, faithful to your children, faithful to teach them the things of God. I wasn't asked whether I wanted to go to church because I didn't want to go. But if I wanted to live, if I wanted a house over my head and food on the table, you got dressed. As like what Minister Joe said, you live in my house, you eat my food, you're going to go to the same church that and serve the same God I am. There, it's not up for discussion. That's just the way it is. And I didn't like it, but you know what? I got over it. And the scripture says when you train up a child in the way they go, should go, they won't depart from it. And so when I had an opportunity, I got saved. I didn't depart. I did depart for a long time. I didn't want anything to do with it and got in a world of mess and a world of hurt because I chose to go my own way. And as all of us have, and so until we get to the place where we commit our lives to Christ and his work in our life, and he's good. God is good. What does the scripture say? It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He was doing good. I mean, he had money. If you read in the scripture, he had people that supported. There were people, women, that supported Jesus' ministry with money. Judas held the bag. He was a thief. And Jesus held the bag, which meant that he dispersed money to help people in his own ministry. So he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And so should we. But as we feed more on the word, you know, again, is not going to get any brighter. It's getting darker and darker and darker in this world. And we are to be a light and a beacon to the lost. And we can't be that if we're not faithful to God. That's the key. And I'm pursuing with all of my energy and all my heart to pursue the things of God. And where he shows me I need to make an adjustment or fix this, I'll do it. And we fix it and we start placing our attention and pursuits on the things of God in the things that we do. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we ask that your word would reveal and shine into our hearts. Show us the things we need to correct. We thank you for your mercy upon all of us. And Father, the things that we should be doing that we're not, we repent for it. We ask you for your mercy. And we commit to pursue you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our physical energy, for time is short. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are in darkness pursuing the wrong things and don't know that you love them. And Father, we thank you that you've raised up this church, that we would have a revelation of your love and unity and might, the might and manifestation of your power to help people. Father, let us embrace your will with all of our heart, and we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Went a little longer, but I just feel sometimes, this may not make you shout, but I'll tell you, make you think about where we are in life right now. Because things are winding down where God is concerned. And I want to be exactly where he wants me to be and the church, this church, to be. And there are thousands of people that are bumping around in life that don't know that God cares. And we can be that person to pray for them, help them, let them know that God really does care. He is alive. And he really cares for you. A lot of times people think that God doesn't care. He's mad at them because of something they did in their life. He already paid for it. You know, I like what somebody said recently. I think it was Reverend Mark Hankins. He said, you don't have to get healing. Jesus already got it. Why am I trying to get something that he already got? I just have to do what? Take it. Receive it. I don't have to get my freedom. I was given freedom. I don't have to get things where God is concerned. I don't have to chase after prosperity. We are, exactly, we are joint heirs with God. Or we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So these things, these blessings have been given us, afforded us through the shed blood of Jesus. I don't have to chase after them. I just have to thank you, Lord. I take them by faith, and I thank you for them. Thank you for opening doors in my life. But what he wants is your heart. He wants your faithfulness to him. And I believe, let's turn, I know I'm closed, I'm finished, but let's, I just thought of a scripture. Think about this here. Go over to Proverbs chapter 3. You know, we always land on verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him. So you can't be divided. All your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. But look down at verse 13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now look at this. Length of days is in her right hand, And in her left hand, what is that word? Riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So God wants us to seek him. He wants us to seek him, seek his wisdom. And he says over here, in the left hand is what? Read it. What did it say? No. Length of days. What does it say? Read it. Length of days is in her what? Her right hand. And in her left hand, what? Riches and honor. So you just have to embrace wisdom. You just have to. Wisdom will show you where to get the riches. Wisdom will bring you to a place of honor. Wisdom will bring you length of days. What does that mean? It'll tell you what to eat, what not to eat, what to do, what not to do, how to live your life properly. Right? Instead of us eating Wingdings and Snickers. I'm not against Wingdings and Snickers, but if you eat too much of them, you'll look like a Wingding. Yeah. You'll cut your life short. Praise God. Well, I hope you got a little something to think about today, and get us, kind of get us focused as we start this year off, and focus on the things of God. Amen. You know, some of us are so concerned about things in our life, and that's not to say God isn't concerned, but we need to place him first. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. You seek him and he'll show you what to do, how to walk out. This is the victory that overcometh the world. This is the what? Victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith will bring you into victory. And faithfulness will too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Glory to God. So again, remember this Friday, we're going to have a little time of worship, a little teaching, and time of healing. Amen. Anybody you know needs healing in their body, you bring them along. Praise the Lord. I always say this, you know, when it comes, if you're coming to see what you get, forget it. Come expecting to receive something, and then you will receive. I've read so many of Brother Hagin's through years of ministry he had. People will come say, well, let me just see what he's got. And he said, well, if you're coming to see what I got, I don't have anything. He said, but if you're coming to get something from God, then God will work through me and get it to you. He said, but if you're just trying something out, he said, you're wasting your time. And he would always talk about, I try to read every day. I'm pretty diligent about it. But I read every day a journal entry called Health Food. And he just shares his daily devotional on experiences that he's had. And so often, it was one story. This woman was in a wheelchair. And she came, a couple stories. And he's teaching. And, you know, she made a big fuss and said, you know, something to him. And she left, and he was there for 2 weeks teaching on healing. This is, you know, when he was young. She left and didn't receive anything. She said, you mean I got to do something? He said, yeah. He said, I have to have faith that when I lay hands on you, that God is working through me. But he said, Donna, you're the receiver. You've got to have faith that you receive, and then once you receive it, you believe that it's working in you. And so this woman left and didn't receive. And he said a couple years went by, came back, and he was teaching. And she came and said, "You just, this one, you know, faith is working." She sat and he recognized the woman. And she was sitting, listening, taking notes. And towards the end of those meetings, she ran up and said, "You just lay your hands on me and I'll receive." Bang. She got it. See, because she said, "I'm coming to get it." Just like the woman with the issue of blood. Not hoping, not wondering. She said, "You just lay your hands on me and I'll get it. I'll be healed. I'm walking out of here healed." He told another story of a man that never walked. He didn't walk. And he was in the church, and he said he laid hands on this man. And he said, didn't feel anything. He said he didn't notice any feeling him. He never fell out. He just laid hands on him. And he said the next day, he was sitting in the car with the pastor, and he said, "Look, look, 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 look." And he said, "Look at what?" And he said, "This man was running up the stairs of the church." He said, "Did you see who that was?" He said, "No." And then when he explained, he said, "Wow, really? Man had never walked." And he said that man went home. And he said after he laid hands on him, he said he felt the power of God go in him, but nothing changed. He was still crippled. And he said that man kept faith alive. He said, "I believe the power of God's working in my body." And he said he had people to tend to him, bathe him, get him in and out of bed, dress him, and do all of that. When he went home, he said before he got in bed, he said, "I thank you, Father, that I felt the healing power go in me. I believe it's working in me." And he said he did that for a day. Or 2 days, I don't remember exactly. But he said when he went back to the church, he was running. He got up in the morning and he told one of them, his brothers or something, said, you know, they put him in the wheelchair. He's sitting in the kitchen. And he said he just felt this urge to stand up. He'd never stood up. He stood up and he said, "Whoa." And he stood up and then he was weak, so he sat down. Then he got another urge to stand up. He stood up, took some steps, and kept walking. How did that happen? He said he kept faith alive. He kept his faith active by saying, "I believe that I've received the healing power of God and it's working in me." Power of God's tangible. And it will work when, just like the woman with the issue of blood, she said, "If I just touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." And she was. That's when Jesus said, the disciples said, "Somebody touched me." "What do you mean somebody touched me? Everybody's touching me." But there was only one who touched expecting to be healed. Everybody else was just touching him, hoping. Amen. Let's stand. So whatever you're believing God for, remember, it's already been paid for. Always remember, faith takes what's been given to us. Faith takes. Amen.